This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome, Province Sports Radio, Whitecaps Weekly. It's Wednesday, May 4th. It's a game day. Patrick Johns here. Mark Weaver. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Unusual. It's a game day.
Yes.
Usually we try to work a bit more ahead.
Well, yeah, but these 3-game weeks, you know, we can only do so much. We have lives outside of the pod.
Shocking.
I do.
Yeah. I don't. I'm a little caught in the corner
here. People like the game day pod, I think. It's you know, midweek. Everyone's going to be a little distracted at work. Wanting a distraction of work, and then we've got a few hours after work between the game and work. You got a couple hours. Why not listen to the pod? Ride your bicycle to the game with your headphones on, no helmet. Perfect.
Before we discuss the Chicago Fire,
yeah,
who are here? How about a little shout out headline here? The phrase that pays.
The phrase that pays. Pete Driver.
Yes.
Headline writer extraordinaire.
Yes.
In that great pantheon of Province headline writers.
Yes.
Including Neville Judd.
Longtime listener, Neville Judd.
J.J. Adams.
It's a
good one. The phrase it pays. I like that. That story got a lot of love on Facebook. People seemed a lot of likes, not for the me or the story, I think, but for just agreeing.
Yes.
Fraser Aird. He's quite likable, and he's been good.
That's shoddy.
A pleasant surprise.
When he came off the right wing and had nice, like, put some English, as they call it.
He's been a winger most of his life until he got here. Or a few weeks before he got here, he was at right back with Benito Floro in his first Canada camp. But he mostly played on the left wing for Rangers, a little bit on the right wing. So yeah, you see that in his game, right? I mean, all his best attributes are his attacking attributes. His crossing ability is fantastic. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a better crosser of the ball that the Caps have had in their MLS era. Nothing jumping to mind. And
I'd say Christian Teixeira off corners.
Christian Teixeira's delivery off corners has been very, very good. And his set piece taking. Yeah. That's probably an underreported aspect of this season. Well spotted. It has been. I was thinking about that. And they need more goals off set. They could have scored a lot more goals off set piece. Tim Parker has been unlucky. He could have had 3 goals or 4 goals right now.
I don't know if you saw the look on his face, because it was right in front of where I watch from. And the look on Tim Parker's face, he just knew.
Yeah. He feels overdue. I would agree with that. He'll get one soon enough. He gets into so many good spots on set pieces and comes so close so often. But yeah, Fraser Aird, I mean, look, people love, even in a short span of time, people love a comeback story. Okay, yeah. This is way too sort of, you wouldn't call this a comeback story.
21-year-old kid comes back from adversity.
But I just mean the sort of, you take the nuts and bolts of his story so far with the Caps, how much he struggled in the opening game, and how well he's bounced back from that. People love that stuff. And people also love athletes who just are honest and own up to things. And I've said this before on the pod, he came on his halftime radio interview in the Montreal game, said it was his fault. He's a 21-year-old kid in his first MLS game. And right then I thought, okay, well, now he's got the mental makeup to progress. Because, I don't think you see that enough in younger players, maybe nowadays, the willingness to admit mistakes, admit fault, admit your weak points. I mean, it's like, I don't know. Now I'm going to sound like an old man on a rant about millennials or something, but I think it's all tied up in this this quest to control and curate your personal brand, right? It's like people don't want to admit fault or don't want to. I mean, Fraser doesn't care. Even after last game, he had a laugh and, he sort of offered up, well, I've gotten a lot better at defending, he said in the post-game. And everyone had a chuckle. Because people aren't stupid. Fans aren't stupid. They know what they're watching. They know what's good and what's bad. So just you know, converse with them on that level and you'll be fine. And so I think that's part of the reason people have embraced him. And also what I mentioned in the article, mostly it's just because of his game. I mean, he's a fun, exciting player to watch. He bombs up and down that wing. He can run for days. He's got wheels and he can cross a ball. And I think he's, well, he's obviously solidified his starting spot quite quickly here. And he's definitely one to watch over the next few years.
What are we thinking about this Chicago Fire, which I don't know very much about? I know they won, what, once this year?
Is yeah. Right? They've only won once. Since they've only played seven games. That's fewest in the league. But they've only scored seven goals, which is also fewest in the league. So they can't score. That's pretty obvious. It's a team in transition. They've changed coaches. I'm going to mispronounce his name. But... Velichko?
No more than me.
Yeah. Anyway, Paunovic, he coached Serbia to an under 20 World Cup. So he comes with good credentials. He had a good playing career. He played a season or two maybe in Major League Soccer as well, so he knows the league a little. But I think it's a good hire for them. I haven't met the man, but Pete Chad had a good sit-down with him in preseason at the tournament in Portland, and I remember Pete coming away being really impressed with his ideas on the game and, you know, how he's going to approach things. So, like, I'm of the opinion that any new coach needs a good year before you kind of really start to judge them. And when you're coming into the Chicago Fire, I would argue you need at least 2 years to show something, because this team's a mess. I mean, it's just been a disaster for a few years now. The turnover in the roster, the turnover in the coaching ranks, and so you need to give a coach time to bring in his players, to implement his style. So, yeah, it's a team in transition. I think it's going to be a rough season for them again. And they are ripe for the picking. You know, they didn't go out and they didn't spend money wisely on their DPs over the last few years. And that, as we all know, as Caps fans know, that is the most... nothing hamstrings you more in this league than making the wrong decisions on DPs, because it's so much of your success depends on those players, and it ties up so much of your salary cap. So, bottom line for a Caps fan, this is a three-pointer. And I, you know, the intriguing thing for me tonight you've got that big Toronto game on Saturday too, a game, of course, you'd love to go to BMO Field and get a win there, but, to me, just win your home games. Everything else is a bit of gravy. You're coming off a win. You're coming off your best performance by a mile of the season. Why would you want to tinker with the lineup? Unless a guy is dead on his feet, as of this morning, you know, try and play as close to that same 11 as possible and build some chemistry and continuity. So usually you see one or two changes just because of energy levels, and I get that. But, you know, if you're Carl Robinson, to me, it's got to be tempting to try and not tinker at all with that lineup for Saturday.
It's challenging, though, isn't it? I mean, you look at someone like Matias Laba, who runs as far as he does, and
yeah,
you know, are you not going to play him against Giovinco? You know what I mean?
Well, that would just be suicide to not go into Toronto with Laba. I think Laba's shown he can play three games in a week. Certain players, and we're still early in the season. I don't think, you know, you're not at a point where you have to maybe worry as much about taxing guys. What you have to worry, I think, is more about guys who are injury prone. You know, a Pedro Morales. Are you going to play Pedro three games in a week? Probably not. I could see them leaving him at home again for this Toronto trip, to be honest. It's not something we've asked Carl Robinson yet, and he wouldn't answer that question anyway, I'm sure. He'll wait and, you know, have to figure out who's on the flight on Thursday. But I think Labo will be fine. And you've got, you know, Russell Tybert can come in. I think that's a natural for that Toronto game. He's played well in Toronto, had a great game against Michael Bradley there a few years back. You know, Canadian kid, hometown. So that makes perfect sense to me. Play Tybert and Laba there. But you've got Jacobson as well. If you have to go there with Jacobson and Tybert and rest Laba. The point for me is I just think this is 3 points for the taking. It's a struggling team. They can't score. You're just coming off a big win. Just keep the momentum going, and then Saturday will take care of itself. You know, keep the good vibes. If you break it up now, you make changes and try and get away with something in this game. You kind of approach it like, well, they're the weaker of the two teams between Toronto and Chicago. Let's see what we can get away with in this game with our lineup. yes, any 11 the Caps put out there should still be able to get a good result against Chicago at home. But I, you know, why take that risk?
I suppose seize control of the game and get, you know, get up a goal or two after the first half.
Exactly. And start making some changes. If you can come out and be up 2-0 at halftime, great. You know, take some guys off 50-60 minutes, and that's the ideal scenario. It's really only the midfield, central midfield players you have to worry, you know, about in terms of energy levels, really, for three games in a week.
Well, and that was sort of the approach on Saturday, wasn't it? I mean, even though it was not a game that was exactly in hand, he started making changes. I think it was at 60 minutes, which, I mean, he hasn't always done. Robbo hasn't always gone quickly to the bench.
No, yeah, these three-game weeks, I think you think more about that. You try and get guys a good half-hour break.
I guess maybe this last thought. I mean, we weren't going to go too long today, but it was funny you mentioned DPs. I immediately thought of Kai Kamara and the crazy situation that's developed in Columbus.
Kai Kamara.
Re-sign him before the season because, you know, probably deserved it, and he certainly said he deserved it. And
yes.
Now it sounds like he may. Well, we'll see what happens today. But
that was just an epic blow. I mean, for the listeners who weren't following, who were not up to date on their Columbus Crew news.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially what happened, well, it seems to have been boiling for a while, but there was a penalty, and Kamara was on two goals.
Wanted a hat trick.
There was a PK. He wanted the ball. Higuain wanted the ball. Apparently, Higuain wanted to give it to Finley. That was why he originally took the ball, that he was going to let Finley take the PK. But I don't know. There were some conflicting things I read that maybe Higuain wanted to take. Anyway, Kamara made a scene. Higuain took it. Scored it. Each finished with two goals, but they blew a 4-1 lead and ended up tying 4-4. And then Kamara, after the game, goes on TV and blasts his teammate, and now he's been suspended by his coach, Greg Berhalter, for a game.
Just blasts him, but says, "Look how many assists he had last year. He didn't help me
at all." Which is true. I mean, if you look at the history of the two of them together in the partnership, that's quite interesting because those numbers have been out there. I think they're on the MLS soccer site. It's something crazy. Like, Higuain's only assisted on like 3 of 40 Kamara goals or something, which surprised me. I never would have thought that's possible. So is it possible that Higuain is not passing to him intentionally? It's, you don't know what's going on. Whatever is going on there, it's clearly been boiling for a while. They clearly don't like each other. You don't have to like each other to play with each other and to have success together. This is a team that's had success in the last few years. But I don't know. I mean, my gut reaction when I saw that all is just like, this does not feel like a repairable situation.
No.
Like, someone's going to have to go here, and you have to think it'll be Kamara. But he's had this reputation for a while, because I remember when the Caps, you know, when he was coming back from England after he'd left KC and then he was coming back to the league, I thought, you know, there would be a great player for Vancouver. He can play up front, straight down the middle. He can play out wide. He's got pace. He can score with his head. I mean, he was sort of attribute-wise everything the Caps were lacking at that point. But there were these kind of whispers about that he wasn't a great teammate, that he was kind of all about himself. So, I mean, maybe this just sort of proves that point. I don't know. I mean, the thing now is, if they're going to have to trade him, and now after this incident, what team, you know, what is a guy's trade value after he's had a blow up with a
DP? You know, people have to make, teams will have to make moves.
And a guy who talked about retiring before, I mean, how long is he going to be left? But you never know. I mean, maybe he's like a rental player if someone wants to. I don't know what his contract is. The term is. I mean, if it's just an option after this year, then maybe a playoff team looks at it and goes, Kai Kamara for 6 months to help us in the playoffs. Great, no problem. But a weird one, and it'll be interesting to see play out. I mean, we've seen PK squabbles over the years in Vancouver. It's not like you see it all over the world. It's not abnormal. It's abnormal, but it's not so rare. And depending on the scenario, sometimes you can just write it off as two hungry, confident players who really, you know, as long as the guy who takes it finishes it, it all dissipates. If you take it and you miss after a squabble, now it's a whole big thing. But there's like heat of the moment. I want it. No, I want it. You know, and then there's this where you, after the game, you go and blast your teammate, which is a whole other thing. And, I mean, the only thing you can say in fairness to Kamara is he's a pretty good PK taker, And Higuain's record has not been amazing. his conversion percentage. So, and it also comes down to the coach. And Greg Berhalter said this himself. He said, "Oh, you know, that's on me." Whatever. He's trying to deflect the story, obviously, the criticism. But I do think before a game, you just need to have those conversations to make it very clear who's taking the PK.
It could be an uncomfortable 2 months in Columbus, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Last question. Are you excited about going to see the exciting new BMO?
It's like the old BMO with more seats, right?
And a roof. The roofs look cool.
Sure. I don't know. I can't get too excited about I get excited about going to Sporting KC.
You don't get the view of downtown anymore from the press box. That's all I know.
Yeah, so no, I'm not excited.
There
then.
You go.
I'm curious. It was a decent view.
The windows you could push. I like the windows.
All I want to know is, have they touched the press box, which is
minimal.
Just a miserable little press box.
No food.
And I think they have not touched it. That's all I... Yeah, the food. The food's abysmal in Toronto.
They don't do food for Whitecap. I mean, I've been there for the rugby, right? So they don't do food for the soccer, do they? Is there food? Is there sandwich?
Crab for Whitecaps?
For
TFC?
TFC. Are there crab sandwiches?
There's like... They... Last time, I think it was just this trough of the worst, most sort of... gelatinous mucousy pasta. It was just, I don't know what it was.
Why bother?
An Italian would have thrown it out of the press box onto the field. Why bother? It was why bother pasta. Yeah. And there was some like plain, it was just some like just plain lettuce leaf with some ranch dressing or something. Anyway, I mean, look, this is a very big first world media problem.
Yes.
The food in the press box. But it should be noted that the team that is spending $20 million on players more than anyone in this league has the worst press box food in MLS. So details, if you want to know how they're scrimping and saving to pay for Giovinco by denying me a decent meal.
I was impressed with the BC Place spread when I was there for the Sevens.
It's decent. When I'm in Toronto, I like to eat at Fresh. Not Freshy. There's a chain called Fresh in Toronto. There's three of them.
As opposed to Freshy.
Much, much better than Freshy. If I told you how I feel about Freshy, we will never get a sponsor. We will never get a sponsorship.
On the province sports.
Okay.
On the province web desk.
I despise Freshy. I think it's crap. Not the people. I'm sure they're lovely. But
disappointed.
Fresh in Toronto. Fantastic.
Oh, that's also like your travel food recommendation.
Sure, go to Fresh. Have a salad. You'll thank me.
Nice.
And then go get drunk.
All right, Mark. Well,
brunch at the Drake. It's not bad.
I've heard that. I haven't been heard that.
Drinks on the rooftop at the Drake, if you really want. I think I'm too old for that. 38? Am I allowed to have drinks on the Drake rooftop? That's an interesting question.
The green room? Is that the place in the attics? It's near where my brother lived. I used to go there.
Anyway, just hang out in Queen West. You'll be fine. You'll find many good things.
All right, Mark.
The Gladstone too. I love the Gladstone Hotel. That? If you're going with the missus, or if you're the missus listening to this pod, and you're going with the mister,
or you're just going
surprise them.
Yeah.
Stay at the Gladstone. That? It's a delightful little kind of art hotel. It's about two blocks past the Drake, away from downtown.
Right.
And it's glorious little old building. I'd love to know the history of the building. Anyway, it's like turn of the century kind of building, and every room is different. There's always art shows going on in the. I think it's four floors, and it. Well, last time it was just great. It was like this photography exhibit on the history of hip hop.
Oh,
it was really really cool. There's always great exhibits, and the little Gladstone kind of cafe restaurant downstairs is also delightful.
Unpaid endorsement.
That is an unpaid endorsement. Yeah, the rack rates are not great. They're but if you get a deal, sometimes you get a deal there.
Good to know. All right, Mark. Always a pleasure.
I'm not staying there.
No. Oh, no. You're okay.
No, we've got our new post-media travel rigs. Mandated hotels in Toronto.
Where?
It's like at the train tracks, I think, by BMO.
Beautiful. All right. He's at Province Weber on Twitter. I'm at Rising Action. Facebook.com/Province Weber. I'm trying to push that one up.
Momofuku. Also excellent for dinner. I always botch the pronunciation, but excellent place to go for dinner if you're there in Toronto.
You've had some trouble with pronunciation today. Just leave it at that.
I got up at 6:30. I know. Really early for me.
You messaged me at 6:45. It was surprising.
This pod is descending.
I wasn't up.
strange tidbits about my personal life.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks. Bye.